If you are a fan of the Dive Bar Rockstar podcast and would like to help support the show, there's a great way that you can do that and start a new fashion trend. We have a new merchandise page on the website, which features t-shirts and hoodies that are available for sale on Amazon. Just click on merchandise in the top menu and all of the links will be there, or go directly to divebarrockstar.com/merchandise. Get started early on your Christmas shopping at divebarrockstar.com. Welcome to the Dive Bar Rockstar Podcast, a show exploring the lives of professional musicians of all types, touring musicians, recording artists, songwriters, engineers, bar bands, wedding bands, and anyone making their living in the music industry. Whether you've dreamed of being a professional or you already are one, this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Eric Baines, and I hope that you not only find some entertainment here, but also some helpful tips, trade secrets, and ideas that will help you achieve your dreams. So March 29th was World Piano Day. It was the 88th day of the year. And I did not know that that was a thing, but now I do. And so I'm going to honor that by featuring an amazing piano player today. I'm really excited about it, so I'm going to get right to the guest. My guest today is my former employer. She has just released her 30th record, and she agreed to come on and talk all about it. The record is really incredible. Overall, she's sold over 3 million records and sells out concerts all over the globe. When I was in her band, I toured throughout Japan and Eastern Europe, like Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, Estonia, Georgia, and all over Ukraine. We used to do orchestra shows in Kyiv. So cool, so much fun. We also traveled to Russia, like even into Siberia. Not always so much fun, not gonna lie. But sometimes it was rough, but it was cool. We've been to South Africa, Turkey, Mexico, Finland, Azerbaijan, and all over the U.S. I probably toured over 30 countries with her. She has a really interesting style of composing in which she, quote, receives melodies, unquote. And that has provided her with an unbelievable amount of compositions over the years. So lots of records and lots of unbelievable melodies. I got to spend 12 years in her band and many of them as her musical director. She's an incredible musician and human being. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Keiko Matsui. Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about you. It was 12 years of my life. There's a lot of stories.
Ah, yeah, that's longest. Longest member in the history.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I was always competing with Bernie. I think Bernie Dressel was in for like 8 years. So when I hit that mark, I was like, okay, yeah? I've accomplished something. but the guys you have now are going on a long time. Like Rico has been there since I left. Rico's probably 10 years, you know, on and off.
Maybe, huh? Right. Yeah, some part of the... Because of the Stone Sergeant subdued or something, then Rico said that Rico missed the chance or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's true. If you go back far.
Yeah.
He said that he said he played the Hollywood Bowl with you and like right before I got the gig, and then right after I left, you guys played the Hollywood Bowl again. And I never got to do it.
No, sorry. wow.
But it was a lot of fun. So when you started on this musical journey, did you ever think that you were going to get to, is this your 30th record, right? Is it 30?
Yes, 30th. Wow.
So did you ever think that it would be this many records and this many years on the road? And
no, I never thought about it. Even when I came to US, and that was part of my change of my life, private life, but I never thought about it. And but somehow, yeah, it was a long way to get here, but somehow I was always get uh, some energy and encouraged by my fans, because even I was having a hard time in different part of life, but still concert was booked and my music was already reached to many parts of the world. And I think my music saved me.
Well, it saves a lot of people, I think.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm so grateful to keep doing this.
Yeah, it saved me a time or two.
No. you supported me so long time. Thank you so much.
And so did you dream of coming to the U.S. and being a star, or you just wanted to play music and wherever it took you, going to take you?
I'm sorry, but I never thought about it. Like lots of Japanese dreamed about having a career in U.S. But when I started piano, I was just taking piano lesson, and I was very active child with studying and sports and fight against bad boys. That kind of thing. Anyway, but somehow student era, like I was taking many musical private lessons. Mm-hmm. And that time I was trying to compose or trying to arrange. But when I had opportunity to compose movie soundtrack when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and then that when I met the movie director, and he explained about the movie, and that was the first time I immediately received the motif and melodies. Mm. So instead of trying to write, I started catching phrases and melodies from that moment. Then I start kind of finding like, wow, and music plus visual is not only 1 + 1 = 2. It's more than that. And so I found my interest towards that genre too. And then start receiving it. And then somehow I started professionally performing and recording in Japan for a while.
Got you. But the major mm-hmm. part of your career has come from the U.S., right?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we made the album, like financial by ourselves, uh-huh. and that was like, I was just thinking like making one album as a memory, but that became like, got the deal in U.S., and then radio started playing my music. And next time when I came back to U.S., I heard my song, Light Above the Trees, from the radio. And wow. It was like a miracle. And I never imagined this way.
That's cool. Great. Light Above the Trees. And do you still do that every night?
Yes. Actually, recently brought back. And enjoying so much. And sometimes I invited Brandon, original soprano saxophone player on the album. Brandon played with us too. So it's still beautiful. And we can go rock on that song. So I love it.
So fun. It's such a musical, mm-hmm. like most of your songs, it's like a musical journey from beginning to end. You know, it goes somewhere. It's so much fun. It starts so quiet. So low.
Right.
And it builds just awesomeness, you know. That was a lot of fun every night.
Thank you.
I don't think I played a single gig with you that didn't have that song on it.
Maybe, huh? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how much time do you spend in the U.S. now compared to Japan?
Well, before pandemic, I was most of the time traveling. So even I didn't stay at my apartment, so I didn't know that summer heat is this hot in this room. So that was a surprising thing I found out. But basically, I was like only 2 months in Japan and 10 months somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's funny because that's my next question. You must love to travel because you just don't ever seem to stop. And then you also named an album The Road .. So, you know, it must be just in your DNA to want to to travel the world at the time, right?
Yes. I mean, originally, I was not much having interest to travel, but because of my music, and I'm enjoying to discover new places and meet new fans. So nowadays, I'm enjoying, and if there is extra days, I can stay longer or I can fly earlier. Since we traveled so far, right? So I'm adding some few days there over there too.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Actually, the album The Road, remember we went to the Capitol studio, right?
Yeah, right.
That is so cool recording.
Yeah.
And recently, last year, this year in February, I had a special project with the lighting director, Junya Honda, which is very talented lighting director, and dancers, and Maya, my older daughter, remember?
Yeah,
Maya
yeah.
produced this event, and we played The Road live.
Oh, nice.
Of course, with a TV track and me playing live.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya was the center of the star dancer. And we had a great fun. And it was sounding still so great.
That's so fun. Yeah, that was mm-hmm. great. That was me and Chad Wright on drums.
Right.
Here's another podcast episode.
Hey, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, great memory.
Wow, that's so cool. You know, I know you've said it a million times on stage, but what does the ... stand for? Because you were very adamant on stage. The song is called The Road ...
Yes, actually, that was the beginning of my new chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. And I just discovered that because of I have been going through many things, but I realized that each one of us is the producer of your life. And your life continues. That's why I added the ...
Yeah, that's awesome. And you always struck me too. It always struck me how fearless you are. And we've gone to some crazy, crazy countries. You know,
seven shots of vodka.
Yeah.
Fearless, huh? Mm.
Yeah. But do you ever find yourself, I mean, we've had experiences where I was scared, you know, and like, you know, and getting on crazy planes in the dead of winter in Russia and looking at the airplane going, I don't think we're going to survive this flight. You know, and like, how are we going to take off? Or, you know, I remember one time being in South Africa and we got to this festival and we were late in the day and like, people had been drinking the whole time and it just seemed like and we took a long time to get ready to go on where all the other bands were just on in 15 minutes. We were like 45 minutes and the crowd was getting restless and I'm like, I don't think we're gonna make it out of here alive, you know. But you never seem to be shaken by much. Where do you think that comes from?
Good question. I don't know. Somehow I think when we are in emergency situation, I think my switch that emergency alert fired me. I mean, like switch on, and I became like more stubborn or more I have courage to against the fence.
Yeah, you're definitely a fighter.
And it was fun. Remember, nowadays I'm doing Eastern European tour, and it's very organized and with good people. But those era, you were in the hardest era, and sometimes we miss food, and we had to take a long bus ride. So that era, I remember, always after the show, I collect food from my backstage, like cheese, ham, bread, and brought to the bus. And in the bus, I made sandwiches for you guys. And I was carrying medicine when Steve Reed had a stomach ache or blah, blah, blah. I gave the medicine. So it was, I felt like I'm everyone's mom or school teacher in the bus. But that was hard, but it was, now I can recall as a fun memory.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I didn't like it at the time.
I know.
And it was,
we survived together.
Right, exactly. And by the way, it was 40 below zero and the bus had no heat, you know, most of the time.
Right. And no bunk bed at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah, those are crazy times. I'm glad that it's gotten better. Although, although it's kind of crazy over there now. Are you still with the war and everything? Mm.
Yes, I'm very sad and painful because both countries, I have many friends and fans. So this, I just finished a Europe tour, and except Russia and Ukraine. So, but I went to Azerbaijan and first time Prague, Czechoslovakia, and Kazakhstan and Moldova. All these countries, but this time, especially this time, I felt, kind of world is not safe.
Yeah.
So here and there is some accident happened, and the people are afraid to go to the theater. That kind of thing happened too, and even we were doing transit time in Istanbul for about 12 hours because we missed the flight. So that time, 1 hour after we left to Prague, that Istanbul, the earthquake happened. So it was like always something was near me. So among touring musicians, we have tour life and we say each other safe travels, right? And that was kind of common word, but it is really, we need to pray for safe travels nowadays.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
It's always impressive, though, at the same time as all those conditions. Once in a while, mm-hmm. you'd be in first class and we'd be in coach. But for the most part, you were right in that bus with everybody and making sandwiches, like you said. And that's Not every artist is like that, you know, so I commend you.
Mm.
You know, you can't really complain that much when you're in your band because you're right there. you're with the rest of us.
But I'm grateful to have great members because it's I introduced family on the road. And really for me, you guys are closest person. More than my family, I spend lots of time with you guys. And of course, sleepless days, and sometimes someone gets nervous or moody. But still, when we play music, we always very solid and tight. And mentally tight, I mean, it's spiritually tight, is very important. I'm so grateful to have a great member.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always mm-hmm. thought too, when you get back from that tour, you're bonded with those people like mm-hmm. nothing else in the world. You and all the people that were around at that time, it's I'll always feel connected in a way that's mm-hmm. different from anybody else. It's like we mm-hmm. survived, you know, we survived.
Yes.
The survival tour.
yes, it was really. Thank you for, your patience.
In the end, it's a fond memory, because we're all crazy. We all want those experiences. There's a little bit of adventurous spirit.
Yes.
Right?
I think so. We have in good way, we have a kind of child heart. How do you call?
Mm-hmm. Like Peter Pan.
Maybe.
We never grow up.
Yes, that's it. I think that's an important part of this musician's character.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new album, Euphoria.
Okay.
Because it's mm-hmm. Amazing. And Euphoria, the song Euphoria is a masterpiece. I've never, that's just incredible. Like this.
Thank you.
And the orchestration. And I was just thinking to myself, I can't wait to hear this with a full orchestra. That's got to be in the future.
Mm. Yes, I really feel so. And when I received the melody, and immediately I knew this is going to be the title track. And yeah. For me, it's like jazz symphony. Yeah. So, and yeah, and I was kept playing because I enjoyed so much the melody and the changes, and it's crazy. And I love to switch around 5/8 to 6/8. And sometimes, okay, cool, this is too complicated. But anyway, I was imagining and completed the song. And I knew that John Beasley, great producer, arranger, pianist, I knew him for a long time. And I thought about, oh, maybe he's the best to arrange this song. And that time I went to Amsterdam for the cruise. And he happened to be there to do orchestra show with a fado singer from Portugal. And he invited me to a concert. And then after his orchestra concert, we had a meeting. And do you think you have time and available to be in the studio, blah, blah, blah. And then I think a rhythm section date, I cannot be in US, but maybe strings I can do. So then, okay, let's do it. Then this happened, and it was great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to it 10 or 20 more times just to soak it all in. There's so much happening, you know. But the string arrangement is incredible, you know.
Yeah, so beautiful. And the way that the right cymbal start, that was in my head already. Like, I want to start like this. And then he made it, and it's wonderful. Enjoying to play that song too.
Oh yeah, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mm-hmm. And you're working with kind of a stripped down band, right? You just four of you guys.
Actually, for this album I made three groups, like Echo too, last album too, like depends on the type of the song I chose. So first group is Greg Vizonette on drums, and then Alex Al, first time I collaborated with him, Alex Al, and then Tony Polizzi on guitar and percussion. Luis Conte played all 12 songs. And right. Then the next group is Jimmy Brandy, my band member now, on drums, and then Jimmy Johnson, long time from first album. Actually, Greg Vizonette and Jimmy Johnson was on the first album too. Wow. So Jimmy Johnson on bass, and then guitar was Michael Thompson and Luis Conte. And Ron Pedry arranged the groovy songs, and also Randy Waldman arranged the beautiful artistic songs, besides John Beasley's Tucson. And then last group is my band member, Jimmy Brandy on drums, and then Rico Bellet on bass, and then JP Morrow on guitar.
Got you. And I was kind of talking about the live band is pretty small. So what are you going to do with a song like Euphoria? Like, are you already playing it out live with the smaller group?
Yes, we just started from this March, and it's so challenging, you know. And I want to cover more parts, but actually, I think we are making a different version of it. And some part, Rico is playing pizzicato, and I'm playing another pizzicato for intro. But the body of the song, we are creating like a different way as the quartet.
Got you.
That's another kind of finding interest to me, an interesting thing too. But April 29th, I will do special celebration concert at the Cerritos Performing Arts Center. And I'm inviting strings and horns and horn section. And on top of that, I invited Kirk Whalum. Oh, Kirk, I forgot. Special guest Kirk Whalum on that too.
Very cool. Yeah, I actually put that on my calendar. I'm going to try to come.
Great.
I'm a die bar rock star.
How would you like to hang out and talk about music? Or discuss something you've heard on the podcast? How about learning some new techniques on the bass? Do you have a new song and would like some feedback from an experienced and professional songwriter? You can do all of that and more at golive.ly. I'm offering private bass lessons and songwriting feedback in a private setting over Zoom. Just search for me, Eric Baines, at golive.ly, pick a date and time, and schedule a lesson. It's that easy. I can teach you advanced bass techniques, music theory, improvisation, or we can talk about how to prepare for a gig, the best thing to wear to an audition, or the most important things to know about living on a tour bus. If you have a new song that isn't quite working and you need some feedback from someone who's written and co-written hundreds of songs for artists, TV, film, and video games, I can help you with that too. All skill levels are welcome. Search for Eric Baines at golive.ly, golive.ly, and I can't wait to meet you. I'd like to take a second and thank you for listening to the Dive Bar Rockstar podcast. Getting the word out is a vital part of what it takes to keep this show on the road, and the easiest way to help is to subscribe wherever you listen, and if you have an extra minute or two, please leave a review. You can also follow our page on Facebook, which is the Dive Bar Rockstar Podcast, or follow me on Instagram at Dive Bar Rockstar. Okay, enough begging. I hope you're having a great time, and once again, thank you for listening. And you produced this record?
Yes, with Bud, my manager. And so we worked co-producing together for last three albums. Yeah, I'm enjoying because, of course, to make decision, sometimes when you are in the studio and playing, concentrating on playing part, it's hard to. So that's why it's nice to have a partner, co-producer in a control room. But basically, from the beginning, as a composer, I collect melodies and put it everything together. And then now, from a producer eye, I have to select the song. And some parts I share with Bud and let him to listen to. And so from 100, I squeeze down to 42 and let him to listen to, and we squeeze down like 20 of it. That kind of thing was the progress before the really developing arrangement or talking to arranger.
Wow, that's a lot. That's amazing.
Yes, a lot. So after this album was completed, I felt like, okay, I take 2 years off for vacation or something. But after completed and photo session and everything has done, then I feel like, oh, this is my new baby and I want to promote her, right? So then gets another energy to go out.
yeah. the single Steps on the Globe, the has another kind of connection because Nick Lane was on trombone for that, who is the main trombone sub for the band Chicago that I'm now playing in.
Oh, he's touring with you.
Yeah, sometimes he stepped through summer, I think, right after he did the session with you, because he was like, "Hey, I just did a session with your old boss."
Oh, cool! Oh, that's cool. So cool. Yes, when I do, I have a horn section. Always Nick is there. Nick and Brandon and Wayne or other person who is touring with James Taylor.
Oh, that's so cool. And another one I thought was really great was Neo.
Mm-hmm. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
That song, so the bass line came to me first, and then melody part I combined, and then developed the song. And then I invited Randy Brecker for a live show in New York, Sony Hall, and also Cerritos Performing Arts Center last time. So I knew him. Of course, I respect, admire him. And wow, maybe this song is perfect for him to join. And of course, we completed the track first. So with between Greg Bissonette and Alex Al and me and Ron Pedley on the roads. And originally, we were I was planning to do Fade Out, but just I couldn't stop playing because so I got so much intensity and also concentration and inspired each other. And just we kept playing till the end. And at the end, we decided to use everything. And I sent to Randy, and he said, "Keiko, this is so much fun to play." And he gave me great few tracks, choices, and he was amazing.
Oh, that's cool. So he wasn't at the session. He sent the tracks.
No, actually, but he sounds like he's in the room, right?
You'd never know. I mean, that's the thing about it. It sounds so live. The energy of that song, like I can already hear. Yes. I can already hear it being played live. It's such a jam. Uh-huh.
And he captured and he made everything like dialogue with me. And it was amazing.
Yeah. I guess that's mm-hmm. why he's Randy Brecker.
Yeah. I think so. Legendary.
Do you like being in the studio versus being on stage? Are they just different things, or is there one that you like better than the other?
Yeah, different thing, huh? I mean, because creating from zero and then making an album is such a blessed feeling, and I'm so happy to do, but it's so much in different way, using so much energy and concentration. And sometimes I became nervous, but for the live show, I don't become nervous. Just it is joy. And of course, the traveling part is very hectic. But I like both. Hard to compare.
And I know, as you know, I worked really close with you as musical director, and you know, I know that you're very particular when it comes to the live stuff, and this is how you want it. And you're very kind and very gentle, and you will gently prod people until you get what you want out of them, you know. So, which I think is great, you know. And it made for a really consistent show, and you know, you know what you want, and you get it, and that's awesome. Is it the same in the studio? I've been in the studio a few times, but do you have the same sort of ideas in the studio? Are you a little bit more, let's let the players play, you know, or is each song different?
Right. I think I'm more open, because since this is new material, so I want to hear who brings some elements. So I'm open. And then, of course, certain groove, like Euphoria, that bouncing section, so verse melody has a little swing, but chorus section, you need to become straight. That was my concept, and I was very picky about it. So, those swing parts, usually with Michael Thompson, and I was asking Michael, little more swing. So I was picky about that. But other than that, I'm open to hear, and I'm welcoming everybody's sparkle I want to hear. So, but at the mixing, me and Bud, especially me, I became so picky. And the details and the choices, and I made decision too. And I'm enjoying, and I think the album, before the tour, the album for me is like perfect for each song. But I think recently I'm more open to have them to play freer and more solo section for each musician than older era.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some guys get it and some guys didn't. Like, I used to give people, you know, a cassette tape or CD, whatever it was at the time, and say, play exactly what's on the CD. Some people would get it, but some people would like, oh, this is a jazz gig. I'm going to do this here. This is what I'm going to think. And I'm like, No. Play exactly what's on the CD, you know? Like, it's some people could get with that concept and others couldn't, you know? And
right, I understand.
But at the same time, it's just, you know, I respect it. It's like, it's important. And it's important to make it, you know, I always felt like my job as a sideman anyways is to do whatever I can do to help you be creative and help your vision happen, you know? But I think
that's great.
But I think once you put jazz in the label, then it gets interesting with some guys. They think, oh, that means I want to do my thing. When it's like, it's Keiko Matsui on the Billboard, not you, you know?
Yeah. And some of my song really needs to nail the parts sometime. So if you don't prepare, like sometimes that happens, if you don't prepare, it's like falling apart and doesn't make sense. So, but nowadays everybody knows this, my composition, my songs are not jam song. So I'm so grateful each one of the musicians. Most of the time they listen to and check the album and the live version. So I'm grateful.
That's great. So I wanted to talk about Love and Nothing Else, featuring Layla Hathaway. Like, wow, it's just stunning. I mean, obviously, Layla is amazing. And this song has lyrics. You haven't done in a while, you know?
Right. Long time I didn't have vocal song.
Yeah.
Right. So,
When you're writing something like that, did you help out with the lyrics at all, or did you have a concept of the lyrics, or did she, like, how did that all work?
Okay, so this song came to me at last of this composing period of time. So last year spring, I received this melody, and this melody stick in my head, and I kept playing in this key. And wow, this is beautiful. And then immediately I thought about Leila's voice, mm-hmm. her deep and thoughtful and soulful. And this Leila will be the perfect and great. So without asking her, of course, I met her a long time ago at the Blue Note Tokyo, but I admire her work, but I just completed the composing part. And then asked her, and then she said, okay, and check her key for the vocal. And we completed the track. And also I invited Gregor Mallet because harmonica. Yes. He will be the perfect for this song. So we just recorded and then sent her, and wow, Keiko, this track already, it was so beautiful. And Gregor and made another dimension or something. Mm-hmm. And then, also I wanted her to not only sing, I wanted her to write lyrics. So I asked her, and then she said, gotcha. And she sent me email, Keiko, which kind of story behind about this song? So she asked me kindly, so I explained her my feeling. Because of this era, we are having a very hard time and carrying pain, and still human being repeats some problems. But still people has courage, and also with the love, I really believe that we can make some change. And I explained to her, I wrote those things to her, and then she said, Keiko, I think I got it. And deeply I'm going to think about, and I will put the lyrics. So, and then she made her own words beautifully, and captured this feeling. It's not just love song. It's deep love song. Yeah,
well, that's amazing. Well, it's beautiful. It's a great pairing. You know, you should do a
thank whole you very much. Yeah, and the way she was in the studio, she was amazing. Yeah. And this melody has almost like 2 octaves.
Wow.
And I checked her range, and it's possible. And she nailed it. And so she said, like, this part, okay, I'm going to sing. And the other part, I let the other girls to sing. And she made these chorus and her main vocal, everything, structures, she made it. And it was amazing.
For all we know, this all could be a dream come true, a fantasy that we choose to believe. Said it sometimes it seems.
you also do some singing on this record.
Yes. Like last album, Echo, Bud and I did too. And this who and but kind of nice to have, oh, vocal. We enjoyed. Yeah.
So cool. Your music in general is so unique, which is kind of, which is one of the main reasons I loved playing with you for so long. Whereas like smooth jazz as a thing was sort of becoming kind of all the same. And I eventually stopped playing any smooth jazz besides Keiko Matsui, because your music is, it's got its own thing. I don't know if it's, you know, well, probably the classical influence that you bring to it and the Japanese-ness, you know, yet it still fits into the smooth jazz format. You know, is that something that you think about when you're writing or when you're receiving, you know?
Yeah. So when I'm composing or I'm waiting to hear something, the melodies and motifs, I don't think about anything. But in this time, there are so many artists and so many, great players. But if I have this opportunity, I just want to pursue what I can do the best. And among lots of more and more rap and funk and these sections and arrangement. So I just wanted to try how much I can speak through the instrumental music as an instrumental music, especially with the piano. So that's a couple of albums, no, three albums. I try to not use saxophone on the main melody because there are so many already. And those melody is just because of, I don't know, but it's me. It's me. So sometimes it has influence from classical and sometimes rock or sometimes more world music, but everything is just came to me very naturally. And when I plan for the arrangement or direction, this melody leads me. And melody, because of this song exists, so we played for the melody kind of thing.
Right.
So it's, I think, different because technically and sonically, everybody can do everything at home, right? So great recording, and you can do even you are not together. But just for me, just the roots is we hear each other, we face each other. And after the session, Jimmy Johnson sent the email to Bud, very nice comment. And we were so getting used to do recording at home, but it's such a special, wonderful time we get together in the studio. That was the roots. So I'm so old school, so I still keep doing that. And this album really captured everybody's sparkle and heart and soul. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, you can really hear the difference. The album is amazing. And
thank you.
It's been so great talking to you. I don't think I've seen you since the day I got married. I think it was the last time.
And that's, really?
That's 8 years ago.
Oh my gosh. 8 years ago. Wow. Congratulations for that baby too.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful family with the Autumn.
Yeah.
He's not there.
I was gonna have her bring him in, but he's sleeping. It's his nap time.
Oh okay. I see. Okay.
Which is kind of good, so I can be out here doing this and not changing diapers, you know.
So when do you go out next time for the tour?
We leave on April 6th, and then then we do like 3 weeks at a time, and then home for a week or two and then out again. So it's it's busy. It's a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks on a bus, you know.
Wow.
Stuff. So it's old school as well.
Uh-huh. Very cool. Very cool.
But it's been a lot of fun. These guys are great. You know, iconic music. So it's
right.
In fact, a lot of it, you know, before that, I was playing country for 5 years with Dwight. And very different for me, but it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then I got a lot of singing. And so then when I got on the Chicago gig, there's so many sections that are jazz rock. It reminded me of you at first. I was like, this is like a Keiko Matsui part.
Oh, really?
So it's like all the years and all the gigs that I've done over, you know, the course of my career, all sort of added up. You know, I get to use all that stuff with this band. Uh-huh. So it's really, it's really pretty cool. But
wow. I hope I can catch one of the show in the near future.
I'll let you know when we're in town. We were in the same town. We were in the same town somewhere not too long ago. I can't remember, but
really,
but it's hard when we're playing on the same night to get
right
hang out. But thank you so much for doing the show, and
thank you for having me.
And I will say that I'm extremely, extremely grateful to have worked with you for so long. And you know, I went through a lot of rough stuff in that time as well, and it was just so nice to be playing this, you know, sensitive, emotional music, you know, every night. And it sort of felt like a cushion around me the whole entire time, you know.
Sweet.
I'm really grateful, and thank you so much for having me for all those years.
Oh, thank you for your great support. I always feel very, so happy to be on the stage and with having you, MD, and it was great.
So good to see her again, even if just through a computer screen. And I really love her approach to composing. She mentioned many times about how she receives melodies. You know, she's a song catcher. And it's really tricky when you're under the gun writing music, and that balance between craft and inspiration is like a really hard one to strike. And I think it's easy to get caught up in trying to make music sometimes and forget to just listen for it. You know, it's a great exercise to just sit quietly and see what comes to you, because great stuff can come out of that silence. And if you never provide yourself with those moments to just listen, then you miss out on a lot of great stuff, I think. You know, I think a lot of great stuff comes to everybody all the time, but most of the time it's so loud in life that you can't hear it. But then she perfectly described what happens next when she talked about whittling down 100 songs to make an 11 song album. Like, that's where the craft comes in knowing how to mold those ideas into arrangements and finished products, you know, and that's where the skill and the experience are just vital. And being able to discern the good ideas from the bad ideas, and the ones that are going to make great songs and the ones that, you know, you just had to get through to get to the good ideas. So it's not all inspiration and it's not all craft. On another side note, she's had so many great musicians in her band, and many of them have been on this podcast, like Bernie Dressel, Stan Sargent, Jakeem Joyner, Leland Sklar is on a bunch of her records. Jay Gore has played with her on cruise ships and stuff, and he's done a lot of smooth jazz house band work. And Chad Wright was her drummer for a long time, and others like Paul Taylor, big time smooth jazz career now, a star in his own right, and started with Keiko Matsui. And Kato Matsuno has now had a lot of success in, he's a guitar player, smooth jazz, had a lot of success on his own. And when I first got in the band, Jonathan Dressel, Bernie's little brother, was the drummer, and he left Keiko to join the Jimmy Kimmel band on the Jimmy Kimmel show. So he's been there ever since. So I think that says a lot about who she is as a musician and as a band leader, you know, so it's an honor to be amongst all those names. The trumpet player who works for James Taylor that Keiko was trying to remember, who's been on her records, is Walt Fowler. And her manager's full name is Bud Harner. And the story that she alluded to in the beginning about Stan Sargent is that Stan did call me to sub, and I ended up hitting it off and getting the gig. And I didn't know her current bass player, Rico Bled, at the time, or that he had subbed on the gig before. I did call Rico to replace me when I left 10 years ago, I guess. And he's been on the gig ever since. So I feel like I made up for it a little bit. And I know him now, and he's an incredible musician and a super great guy. So that's my show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again in the future. I'm a dive-bar
rock star. Wow, you've made it to the end. I'm hoping it's because you completely enjoyed yourself and are now filled with knowledge and inspiration to move forward with your dreams. If that is the case and you would like to stay informed of new episodes, live events, and general news, please go to divebarrockstar.com and sign up for the mailing list. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, or complaints about anything you hear on the show, please email me at fanmail@divebarrockstar.com and you may even end up on the show. We at the Dive Bar Rockstar podcast, with all of our hearts, thank you for listening, and remember, it's all about dreams.